Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday. Sign Guy and QT with you as usual. Real quick before we jump into things today, if you're looking for some wrestling today in Portland, Oregon, you have two choices: DOA Pro Wrestling returning, as well as Blue Collar Wrestling. Blue Collar featuring the return of Tough Guy Inc., Bob Evans, and Tim Hughes. Also, if you're in the Indianapolis area, Bizarro Lucha happening today. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest, someone I've known for many, many years, Luscious Lonnie Lee, to the program. Shockingly, his first time with us, but Lonnie Lee, to start things off, my co-host QT's time is limited, so I'm going to give him the opening for you.
Okay. Well, hello, Mr. Lee. Thank you, Sun Guy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good, not bad. Mr. Lee, I saw your video entitled Luscious Lonnie Lee's Very Brief Return. And in Yes. It was one of the better videos I have seen from the start of this new year till now. One of the better videos. Yes.
Well, thank you. I was very much out of shape. I did not look very good at all. I forgot the password to my YouTube, and I can't take it down.
Well, there aren't many times when a wrestler wants to take down his videos. Not many times. Okay.
No, I don't. Well, I didn't look very good, so I was kind of heavy.
Well, your robe looked very resplendent. Very resplendent.
Yeah, I love that robe. I wore that. I got that in the 90s, and it's very resplendent. That's a very good word for it.
Yes. Now, before I ask my opening question, I know that you served in the Navy. Were you on a destroyer?
I was on AOR-7, USS Roanoke. It was an oiler.
Oh, wow. Okay. An oiler. Okay. I myself was in the Coast Guard.
Oh, well, thank you for your service.
And I wasn't on an oiler.
I was on a high endurance
cutter. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Were you like on one of the Great Lakes, or were you out like in? Because I know that Lake Erie has Coast Guard.
Yes, they have the icebreakers up there, the icebreaker. Mm-hmm. And no, I was mostly in the Caribbean and the Straits of Florida patrolling.
That must have been rough.
Yes. Well, it actually, the seas sometimes they got rough off the East Coast. Yes.
Yeah.
I was a cook, and so you yourself know the term sliders. Put a piece of meat on the grill and it slides.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Lee, in your Luscious Lonnie Lee's Very Brief Return video, in your opening match, you faced a wrestler named Roger Blade. And now the entrance music is a constant theme on the show. And indeed, entrance music can trace its way back in history on the battlefield. In the Civil War, typically on the southern side, they had fife and drum corps and the Union soldiers could often hear them approaching, and they knew a fight was coming. And in the ancient mists and fjords of Norway and Finland, you could often hear the Vikings coming with their pounding drums and a pre-Australian version of what would become their instrument, known as a didgeridoo. My question is, you entered the ring to the Kiss song Black Diamond. How long have you been a fan of Kiss?
Okay, I was a Kiss fan since 1977. We were at Sears, and I had Christmas money, and I had never heard of Kiss. I'm a little boy. I'm 6 years old, and I saw the cover, and I picked it up, and I looked on the back cover where the pictures were bigger, and what drew me to Kiss, of course, was Gene Simmons. I was like, man, this is cool. So I bought the record, and I took it home and listened, and I was hooked. Most people will remember me coming out, though. That was in Roger's idea for the Kiss song. James Brown, Sex Machine was a song I used to come out to for most of my matches. Just that very brief time that I used Black Diamond, and that was Roger's idea.
Now, the album you saw, was it Kiss Alive, live from Cobo Hall?
Alive 2.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
And
now,
to be honest with you, he made on the Kiss Alive album. I saw that and I thought, I want to play bass. And when I was 13, I started playing.
Oh, well,
because
now
of him,
what
I picked it up.
What was the first brand of bass that you bought?
Oh my gosh. Well, my very first bass I bought, now you got to understand, this is before eBay and everything. I went to a pawn shop and I bought a Kent bass. It looked like Paul McCartney's bass. I can't remember those. I used to have one of those too. I can't remember the name of them. And I had a Crate amp. It was a guitar amp. And then I bought a, that's what I started learning on. And I bought a Fender copy, jazz bass. They were both pieces of junk. It was horrible.
Oh, the bass that Paul McCartney used is known as the Hofner.
Hofner, yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I had one of those at one time. But the Kent bass looked like a Hofner, and which was good because half the time the amp didn't work and it was a hollow body, so I could practice without an amp.
Oh, have you ever used a miniature bass as a foreign object?
No, that would have been. I don't. No, I'm not the honky tonk man. I don't hit people with guitars.
Oh, okay. Well, do you think that the Demon, Gene Simmons, would be a better wrestler than the Star Child, Paul Stanley?
I think Ace Frehley would kill all of them. But I'm an Ace Frehley fan, actually. I think that Ace, what was that show, the Celebrity Death Match, when they had Kiss and Ace beat everybody up? That was awesome.
Well, I didn't see that one. Hmm.
Yeah.
I think
Gene could beat Paul up.
Oh. Well,
I don't want to get Kiss
doing
me, so.
I think a mixed tag team of Tonya Harding, Ace Frehley would really be good.
Yeah.
Yes.
They would be the heels, I think, because foreign objects. Smack
yes.
them in the knee with it.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you there. Mr. Lee, at the 4:56 mark of this YouTube video, your opponent executed a nice fireman's carry takedown on you, and this move is not often seen in pro wrestling, but rather college and high school wrestling. Do you know if your opponent had a prep wrestling career?
I'm not sure. I'm not I don't remember who did that. Was that Roger?
Roger Blade.
Yeah. No, he did not. Because you don't see chain wrestling anymore. And I believe that's how you start your match, you know, and that may have been going on for a little bit. I can't remember. I've got to watch that video again. I don't remember how the match even started or where we were. I probably already did the he's pulling my hair bit when he.
Yes.
Yeah. So, when I go out with somebody, Roger, you know, Roger and I have great matches to begin with. But when I'm wrestling somebody else, I will tell them we're not going to go out there and start pounding each other. We're going to. These younger
work
people,
the crowd.
You know, yes. I mean, when people have a match, had a match against me, they knew they had an easy night because I don't do anything in the ring. I grab a hold and hold on and yell at people. And so that's all you got to do. I mean, there's no sense for all the things these kids are doing now. Nowadays, there's no reason for it.
Well, if Roger Blade's real name was Johnny Blade, do you think, in hindsight, that his entrance music would have indeed been Johnny Blade by Black Sabbath, and which song appears on their Never Say Die album?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That would be awesome. I need to tell him that if he's not listening to this, I need to tell him he needs to change the music.
Yes, that would be in a very appropriate question, and I think it could help his entrance music. Johnny Blade,
yes.
By Black Sabbath.
Johnny Blade, yes, that would be awesome.
Okay. Well, Mr. Lee, at the 13:44 mark of this video, and once again accompanied by the song Black Diamond, you appeared in an outdoor tag team match with what appeared to be very nice weather. What do you prefer, outdoor tag team competition or indoor singles competition?
You know, it really doesn't matter to me. I'd rather I don't think Roger's opponent showed up or something. So they had him tag with me, you know, a heel and a baby. And, you know, of course, you know the outcome of that.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh.
I never thought. That was the only outdoor. Let me make sure I'm telling the truth. No, I've done two other outdoor shows. Indoor, I think I prefer that better.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, in your outdoor appearances, were they indeed in the Midwest?
Yes, yes. One of them was, I want to say Steel, Missouri, but I can't be 100% on that. That whole
Missouri.
Time when I was down at Moondog Spots, it's kind of a blur. I remember bits and pieces.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Lee, I was stunned at the 27 minute and 17 mark of your video when you were indoors again and you faced a wrestler who was from Louisiana and he weighed only 135 pounds, or at least this was his announced weight. Is this the lightest wrestler you have ever faced?
No.
Oh, well,
no.
When that 135-pound wrestler came out, did your mind briefly flash to the match that saw King Kong Bundy go up against Little Beaver?
I don't remember that match, Little Beaver and King Kong Bundy. I don't remember that match, but no. That was the that match was the night that I decided I was finished again.
Oh. Well, at this time, I'm going to assign you a turnbuckle turmoil homework assignment to Le Kong Bundy Body Splash's Little Beaver.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I had to, the smallest guy I wrestled was actually, I don't know if this is politically correct, a midget. And I made a bet with a promoter on a football game. And, of course, Vikings lost to the Falcons. That, and so I had to put a midget over.
Oh. Oh, my gosh. Do you recall the name of this midget wrestler?
I do not. All I know is I got yelled at for body slamming him. He did not appreciate that because...
Oh my God. Well, now this would be a very good homework assignment for you and very pertinent then, King Kong
yes,
Bundy and
indeed.
Little Beaver.
Yes.
Very good. Oh, okay. All right. Well, now in this match, and I'm sure you're going to go back and look at this, he came out to the entrance music of Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
My question is, are you a big fan of Weird Al Yankovic, Eat It?
I love Weird Al Yankovic. I like all of his parodies.
Oh.
I do like that song, yes.
Well, we have a tag team up here in New York called Pizza Party, and they are led by Captain Jack the Snack, who comes out and his wrestling tights has pepperoni pizza slices on it.
Oh, my gosh. Captain Snack. Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
Jack the Snack. Yeah, I think Sign Guy could send you some very important clips of him, Jack the Snack.
That,
I think he could.
That would be awesome.
Okay. All right. I am sorry that I don't have any more questions, but I myself was hit from behind by a foreign object known as daylight savings time. So it leapt forward, and I didn't have time to produce the amount of intellectual questions that I wanted to ask you.
Oh, no. Yes. That's fine, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I do wish to hear the outcome or your opinion of that King Kong – no, wait a second. Wasn't King Kong Bundy, Little Beaver, or was it? Wait a second.
Yes,
who did
that
I
was
say?
It.
Oh, yes, King Kong Bundy and Little Beaver of your homework assignment, and may you continue your bass playing.
Okay.
Okay.
All
back
right,
to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Luscious Lonnie Lee, one of the things that you were most known for in, like, especially the earlier part of your career, was you were always billed as one of Canada's finest professional wrestlers, and you carried the maple leaf with pride for a lot of years. What was it like going out there representing Canada on shows there in the Midwest?
Well, I got a lot of heat. People didn't. I don't understand that because, you know, but it's not like we were at war or anything like that, but they love to chant USA against me, as you well know. It was pretty fun. I mean, pretty cool carrying that because it did get me heat. People didn't care for it.
I later took the mantle of Canada there and HPW, and they were ready to riot just at the sight of a Canadian flag. So, I
no.
Definitely understand, for sure.
And the very first HPW match is where I had – no, the second one. It was in what was the name of that town in Indiana? It's not – it's
Columbus.
Elwood, Indiana.
Okay.
That's where I had to wrestle the midget. I've known Jerry for a little bit. And that was my – well, Jerry and Moondog Spot were the best promoters, Jerry Wilson, HPW. To me, they were the best promotions. I had a lot of fun and a lot of great matches. I also liked working for, I don't remember what his, Jason Maples, I don't remember what his group's name is.
It was the EWF at the time.
Yes, thank you. That's where I met Austin Steele and Disco Jack Frisco. And if you remember, me and Austin Steele had some great matches.
Absolutely. I was early on in the HBW days, and you guys had a fantastic feud.
Yeah, he's currently in the Army. Austin Steele is.
Now, like QT mentioned, there's all sorts of venues out there for professional wrestling because anywhere a ring can be placed, a promoter can set it up, throw up some chairs, and run a show for the most part. I'm sure that some venues were better than others as far as, you know, the atmosphere for the show, just the general aesthetics, that type of thing. Did you have a particular favorite venue where you wrestled?
My favorite venue would have been Osceola, Arkansas, Moondog Spots. I guess you would call it the headquarters. That's where they did the house shows, the TV tapings, and you know. That's actually where I got the most heat. People there hated me. They it did get bad because they found out, you know, as you know, I had two little girls that I raised on my own, and they found out who my, because they would watch my girls in the stands, you know, to keep them out of the back because that's no place for a little girl, and they found out who my kids were, and so then the kids had to come, you know, they had to be, you know, brought to the back, and they stole their coats. It was awful. But one time, somebody threatened to shoot me. They had a gun, and then somebody threatened to hit me with a mag light. And next thing you know, we have off-duty police officers leading me to the ring.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of heat there in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, everybody that's been around for any length of time has had those moments where they've had a really good moment with a fan, something that made that wrestler's day or week, or just made them appreciate being in the business because of that particular moment. Do you have one or two of those fan moments that really made it special for you being in the business and being able to experience that with the fan?
Let me think about this, because I was heel, you know, all that time. I really didn't. I don't know about with the fans, but I did a show here in Vernon, and Moondog Spot came and brought, you know, he basically brought a show, and you know, Austin Steele came and Disco came. And I had trained somebody. His name was Big Jim Black. And at the end of the night, when Moondog was leaving, he wanted to talk to Moondog, but he was afraid he'd be marking. So I said, no, he's very approachable. So I called Moondog over and I said, my friend James wants to say something to you. And he did. They talked. He said, it's an honor to meet you, and, you know, all that. And so Moondog said, you look good out there. If you and Lonnie want to come back to Arkansas, I can finish your training. And, you know, because I had the little girls and I was already on my way out, I declined. And James had a family and he couldn't. That to me would be one of those moments where I felt pride. I was very, very proud of that. As far as the fans, I work heel most of the time, so I really didn't have a lot of interaction outside of telling them to shut up or or whatever. I did. Somebody did find me outside once and told me that. Do you remember the show in Melbourne, Indiana?
Yes.
Where of all people, I worked Bobo Brazil Jr. that night, and you know how much bigger than me he is. So it was a great match. I had a great time. That headbutt caused me to go over the top rope and into the third row of fans. But people were telling me about that match, how they enjoyed that match, and that would probably be the only time I ever had any fan interaction that I remember.
Now, looking back on your career, you don't have to go into specifics or anything like that, but just in a general ballpark, what would you say was the show that garnered you your best pay in wrestling?
Best pay. That'd be down in we did a show and did a show in Memphis. Wait a minute, no. There's one in HPW I did too that I made good money on. Kind of both were the same. The idea was buy a picture of me and tear it up. I don't know if you remember that or not. I ran out of pictures.
Yeah, I do.
Ran out of pictures both times.
Yeah, that is always a good one. And then marketing a shirt that's anti-yourself and having someone like the commissioner or whatever present the shirt to the fans, they'll buy those things in bulk thinking they're making you really mad.
Yeah, well, you know, when they tore those pictures up, you remember I threw myself to the ground and whipped up some tears?
Yeah, I remember the tantrum, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have a game on this show we like to play called Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely came across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into mind would be your answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Is this a PG show?
We can stretch it a little bit if need be.
Okay, because I met some jerks in the business as well as good people. So depends on who you bring up.
All right, here we go. First name, Disco Jack Frisco from San Francisco.
Great friend, awesome gimmick. Just one word?
One or two. All right, next one. Austin Steele.
Great, great wrestler. Good friend as well.
Jason Ayers.
Oh, yes, he's in the WWE now. Awesome person. Great referee.
Bobo Brazil Jr.
Awesome. Great man, great wrestler. I know I'm stretching the rules.
Lady Luck.
I don't remember her. Oh, was that the one that led me to the ring for a while? I don't remember.
Nope,
that
Lady
is.
Luck was Dice Man's valet.
Oh, yes. Very nice lady. Yes, I remember.
Eric Draven?
Eric Draven is a good guy. He's a nice guy. We had heat for a while, but that was back in the 90s, but we're pretty good friends now. We're on friendly terms. I don't have anything bad to say about him. He's a great guy.
Coco Beware,
good friend, great guy, yeah. Called me when he was in Madison and said, hey, I'm in call it hangover. wanted me to come hang out with him. I couldn't. I felt bad about it.
Dave Dynasty.
Dave Dynasty, oh my gosh. Greatest manager ever.
Jerry Wilson.
Jerry Wilson has the heart of wrestling.
The last name, Deputy Dog.
Deputy Dog. Deputy Dog. I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay. He might have been right after your time then.
I'm sorry. If I've worked him or not, I don't remember, I do apologize. If he's listening, I'm sorry. If you knew me, I do apologize.
Now, we mentioned Jason Ayers being a great ref, and he is. I know that you probably saw a pretty mixed bag when it came to referees on the independent circuit. It usually is like that. You have some really good ones that know what they're doing and some that don't. Who would you say were some of the best referees that you came across?
Lord. I don't even know their names. I'm so sorry. Jason was, of course, the best. That's the only name I know. I do apologize. I never really got to know. Oh, Dakota Bland was a good referee. Roger's son. He does a good job. Well, they all do a crappy job because they're always trying to tell me I'm cheating, and I wasn't.
And there would never be any interference out of Disco Jack Frisco from San Francisco.
No, we played by the rules. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Once in a while, he would slip and fall into the ring and cause someone to fall down by accident, but that happens.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they say I hit him with a metal object. They can't prove that I had it, and so if you don't have a metal object to prove that I had it, then I didn't have it.
Seems sensible to me. And we talked about some of those fans and how they would get very angry, and especially there in the Midwest and the South, a lot of the fans don't appreciate how dangerous things could get if you had enough heat. What would you say was the scariest moment for you, either during a match or right after the match, when like the fans were to that boiling point?
It would be, I don't remember what this was. It was EWF show. It was at a fairgrounds for Blank, and I really struck a nerve with some people. I mean, really bad. And so the match was over. You know, we come back from quote-unquote going to jail. It was a loser-go-to-jail match. And my girls were in the back with me. And, excuse me, I asked somebody to watch them while I went to the bathroom, and I come back and my girls are gone. Fortunately, the police officers that were involved were fans, and so they went looking for them, and I was scared to death that the people that I had angered may have done something to them, and they didn't. They found them on the midway at the fairgrounds. They just walked off, and I was so upset with the person that I asked to watch him. I yelled at him and her. It was a couple. And the police, of course, found him. Then the guy found me, and he started getting mouthy with me. I thought I was going to get into a fight, and the police officer escorted him away. So for a brief second, I was fearful. You know, my daughters, you know, I was very protective of them. And when I didn't know where they were, that scared me.
Don't blame you a bit for that. One of the things that a lot of wrestlers get into after they have been around for a few years, some of them even early in their career get into this part, is the booking aspect of the business, where they kind of transition into the office role and book the shows. Was booking something that you ever did very much or had an interest in doing? Did we lose you?
No, are you there?
Oh, there we go. Okay, now we can hear you.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. I was asking if booking was something you did much or had an interest in it.
I did book my own shows, but I'm not really interested in, since recently I've had people wanted me to come work for them, but I really can't because of conflict of interest, which we'll hopefully get into here in a minute.
Now, you also have an aspect that a lot of people get into, and that is training. I don't know if you did this a lot, but were you someone that would get in there and help train the newer wrestlers for a career in professional wrestling?
I've done that before. I did it for Jerry Wilson, and I trained Big Jim Black. And my oldest daughter wanted to get in the ring until I whipped her into the turnbuckle. She said, "That hurts." Because I knew she wouldn't want to do it then. So, yeah, I'm out of the business completely.
Now, when you were training guys, was that something that you enjoyed doing, or is it something that you did it, but it wasn't really like your passion in the business?
I did it both because I enjoyed it and out of necessity because for HPW, because I knew I was going to be working these people and I wanted them to take care of me in the ring, did them. So, and I didn't mind doing it. Big Jim Black, I trained him because he's a good friend and he wanted to get into the business. So I had fun doing it, if that answers your question, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Now, as far back as wrestling goes, people have had various tape rituals that they believed in when they were getting ready for a match. Some people have to apply their tape in a certain way every time. Some people have things that they write on their tape. Some people don't believe in wrist tape. Did you have any particular tape rituals when you were active?
No, I just taped my wrists. I use them pretty much to choke opponents is all I use it for.
I never saw any such choking.
Well, no, I didn't either.
Sometimes it would come loose and accidentally go across
right,
the opponent's
and come across
throat
their
when
neck
you were trying,
and I was trying to get it off.
They were in the way.
Yeah, well, what happened was that it came off my wrist and it went around their neck and I was trying to get the tape off. And the referee, of course, told me I was choking them and I really wasn't.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
And Jason is too good to not notice that, so I'm sure he would have fined suspended you if he thought you were choking someone.
Exactly.
Now, looking back on your career, obviously Jason Ayers is in the biggest promotion in the world and doing extremely well for himself there. But when you look back on other people that you worked with, especially guys that were starting out when you were starting to wind down that are now doing very well, who are some of the guys out there that have made a name for themselves and have done well that you are most proud to have a hand in helping?
Wow. That I had a hand in helping? I don't know that anybody. Maybe there are people. I just don't know.
All right.
I've lost touch with most people that, you know, most people that are in the business, with the exception of Austin Steele and Roger.
Now, you, in your career, also would come to the ring with a manager or a valet pretty regularly, in addition to your normal tag team partner, Disco Jack Frisco from San Francisco. Managing sort of has become a lost art, but, oh, actually, wait a second. I believe we have a caller that you have been waiting on, so let me jump to there real quick. So do we have the caller on the line from the 831 area? Do we have the other caller on? Oh, looks like he dropped the call. He dropped the call.
Check him real quick. I'll get him back on.
Okay. I was going to ask real quick, did you have a particular favorite manager that you work with on a regular basis?
Of course. Dave Dynasty.
Yeah, you did say he was the greatest manager ever.
Right. My favorite valet was Lady Vixen.
Good choice. I remember Lady Vixen.
Matt said that he can't get on. It drops him. So I guess I will have to do this on my own whenever.
Let's give him one more chance. I believe he's called back. Matt, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Yes.
Doing well. Well, Matt and Lonnie had an announcement to make about the musical side here, and I wanted them to have the chance to do it. So, gentlemen, floor is all yours.
You got it, Matt. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we're very excited. We've been working very hard on our new material, and we're about to ink a deal with Bentley Records. And I believe we're scheduled for April. And so we're really pushing hard on getting our material done and completed so we can have it ready for distribution. So we're very excited. I mean, Lonnie's like my long-lost brother, you know. I mean, I can't imagine doing this music without him. And without him, this never would have happened, gotten to this level.
Well, thanks, Matt. I feel the same about you. You're the – Matt, there is no Black Jack Symphony. Well, I could do Screamo, maybe.
But you know what? It truly is. It truly is a combination with all of us that makes this sound. It's not. It's never just one person.
No.
You know. I think it's just a good old chemistry that you get the right people at the right time, giving us this opportunity. So we're really going to push it to the hilt once we get this signed, and we're going to really take full advantage of this. So we were just. It was great to hear our songs playing last night on. Poison Ivy radio station. What? It's
Rock Rage Radio.
Rock Rage, exactly. You know, they play great songs, and you know, I think we're blessed that she really enjoys playing our material. She's playing us consistently, so we really greatly appreciate the support.
She played one of the songs off our old album last night.
That is correct. I was expecting to hear the new single, and yes, you played something. It's called Blast from the Past, but it's good. It's good to see that the older material is still holding up.
Yes, indeed.
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 Well, guys, that's a big thing, signing to a label. I know that's something that musicians strive to do. So do you guys have anything lined up as far as albums and concerts and things like that where people can check out the new music that might be forthcoming?
Well, that'll be according to that. Go ahead,
Matt.
No, you go ahead.
No, no. I was just going to say that we've got two singles that we've just released at the moment. They're basically early releases. They're going to be in the stage of being remastered right now. But we want to get something out there because people have been waiting to hear our material. And by April, we're gonna have a full album all completed and ready for to be sent out. And then we're gonna really start planning when and where we start playing to really promote the material.
And our first album is available on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, they call it. You can find us anywhere.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're hoping. We'd love to the premiere of our material is to actually get it premiered by opening up and playing at the Agora Theater. We've been playing at that Cleveland venue many, many times. They've been very, very supportive of us. And you know, what better place for us to actually have a premiere of our new release at the new Agora Theater? So we're looking forward to that. And it's all about planning. But right now, we're right now prioritizing our efforts towards the music right now to make sure it's 100% solid. We want it to be all killer, no filler.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, pretty much sums it up.
Now, you guys have been doing music for a while, and now you got this big breakthrough. Are there plans in place for, like, doing some touring, getting out there and getting some more venues so people can check you out live?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that is
the
goal.
It all depends. Absolutely. You know, we're just taking it a step at a time. You know, we don't want to overstep our goals right now. The biggest priority right now is to come up with a very strong release. Once that's all taken care of and the technical side in regards to distribution, where it's all being sent out to, that's when we'll focus where our material is being distributed. That's when we'll start focusing to see maybe if that might be the venues that we want to focus on first. You know, internet's a very powerful tool, so we want to get our feedback online as well to see what our listeners. I mean, we've got just on our Facebook, we have I think 10,000 listeners right now. Is that right,
13.
Lonnie?
13.
Okay, 13.
Almost 14.
Yeah, 14, and that's just Facebook alone, you know. And we've got people that travel from different states to watch us. And whenever we play the Agora, and we want that type of following in each state, but we need to concentrate in each state by pushing our material out there and getting the full support of the local radio station. So it's all work before we get to play.
Right, you have to have support from other avenues before people can even know who you are.
Absolutely, you know. But the radio stations love us. I mean, we just have to really saturate the market, and then once that's established and gives it time for the music to grow and for listeners to hear the new material, that's when we want to plan a full. We do want to go on tour. That's obviously it's extremely necessary. And but at the same time, you know, explore all the other areas such as the internet market, and whatever promotions that we can come up with. I mean, we're really looking ahead here. But like I said, right now the most important thing right now is to come out and complete these all our songs. We're in the middle stages right now. We just want to get to the very end, get them finally mastered, and then have Bentley Records have distribute them. And that's where we plan where we're going to go next.
And they send us a list of places they're going to send them, a lot of places, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's not just the U.S. market. So,
well, it's mostly overseas, really.
We want to take full advantage of the States because, I mean, this is where you and I started this project. So we want to make sure we can have it grow to its fruition here in the States. And then stretch our arms out to the other markets. But European is huge on hard rock. Japan's huge on hard rock. So there's a lot of places to go. Full-time job.
And it's funny, at the beginning of the show, the other interviewer was talking about, mentioned a pretty Australian instrument. Matt's from Australia, so I thought, man, that's pretty cool.
That's true.
Absolutely. The didgeridoo.
Yes,
that's correct. A very classic instrument in Australia.
I played lead didgeridoo on this album.
That's true.
Not a lot of albums have a lead didgeridoo player in the States.
No, I also play lead tambourine and lead kazoo as well.
Yeah. Oh, man, yes, it'll be
quite interesting. Got just a few minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time. If there's any last things you guys want to say to the audience today, plug and promote absolutely anything you want, social medias, merchandising, any upcoming shows, anything like that, floor is all yours.
Lonnie, why don't you take it away?
All right. Thanks, Matt. Well, we're on Facebook. Just go to the official Blackjack Symphony page. We have videos of music. We have the greatest fans. They take pictures and videos of us, and they send them to us, so we post them up. And
we have a great set of fan base. Absolutely.
Yeah, and like Matt said, we got people when we're playing in Cleveland. They're driving from Dayton, Ohio, and from Indiana, and from Columbus. Weren't those two guys from Columbus?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and we meet our fans after the show. We usually go to our merchandise table.
Yeah, but what about the new shirts, the concert shirts that you're putting together?
Yes, we're working on I'm currently working on getting some new T-shirts together, new merchandise. It should be available here in a couple months. And if you go to our Facebook page and like the page, you'll be well informed as to when they're available.
And as far as releases, well, I remember, other bands are starting to do this now, but we were like one of the first bands to actually put our releases on flash drives.
Yes, we were the very first band to do that.
Yeah.
Our first album is on flash drive, and it's also available on CD. There's a link on our Facebook page for the CDs. The flash drives,
absolutely,
you can only get at a show.
You know, there's a show. They've got the band. It's a metallic flash drive. It's got a band logo on there. You know, you've got photos around there. You've got the entire song catalog. So it's certainly worth the investment, and you can plug and play anywhere. Most heroes now have those USB adapters. You just plug it in. No skips, no scratches. The sound quality will always be consistent.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, what about the light show, Lonnie? I mean, we're gonna really pull out all the guns on our next show. So I mean, we certainly did on our past.
We're a very high energy show, and we've got a lot of lights and the fog machines. We don't just stand in one place. You'll see that if you go to our Facebook page and watch the videos.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's it. We're really looking forward to 2019, a strong 2019. And we finally have a great company that is actually backing us up, who has the confidence that they can see that we're a good investment. And we certainly don't want to disappoint them as well. So we certainly will not. So
right.
Anyone out there who sees Blackjack Symphony advertised, please come on, give us a try, and I've got a hell of a time.
Right. And you can try us for free on Spotify. We're on YouTube. The album is Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. And if you listen to it and you like it, if you like buying a copy, do that.
Absolutely. Perfect.
I believe
gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for being on today. Lonnie, it was an absolute pleasure having you on here. It was
always great
coming across to you. All right, Matt, thank you for being on. Best of luck with the new record deal. I hope that becomes a huge success for you guys. And hopefully we'll have you back sometime in the near future.
Sounds great.
Sounds wonderful.
Thanks, sound guy. Sign
all
guy.
Right.
I could sign there, but they will.
Fans, if you get the chance, go out there and support. Lonnie's still got some YouTube videos up. He's not taken down yet, so get up there and check out.
I know the password. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We'll be back with you next week, fans. Next Friday afternoon, we got Travis Mayhem from right here in our neck of the woods in the Northwest. And 1 week from today, we'll be back with you once again with currently inactive month. We have Kingdale Houston joining us. So make sure you have plans in place then, and we'll talk to you soon.
Rock and roll.
Hey.